fighting for America.
The media market personality Marconi goes to Kevin Miller, KIDOAM, Boise, Idaho.
Fighting for Idaho.
I just want to say to all of you, thank you for believing in radio and local radio. I want to thank Town Square Media. I want to thank Kevin Godwin. I want to thank all my listeners.
Fighting for you.
But in reality, this award is about all of you that believe in radio, that believe in touching people's lives. God bless you all. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, there, those were the good times. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Folks, here is your oasis of conservatism, of family values, of traditional American rights and privileges. You name it, it is right here. I want you to calm down. I don't want you to get too fired up. We're here for you. Never mind that the mainstream media is, you know, embrace what's happened with the Ninth Circuit. We're here. We'll be with you all morning long, taking your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined now by our great friend Stephen Yates, chairman of the state GOP. Chairman Yates, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us here at 580-KIDO. As the head of the Idaho Republican Party, your thoughts on the Ninth Circuit's decision yesterday?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is that Article 14, Section 2 of our party platform says we call upon government officials and legislators to protect the traditional family and use all means possible to prevent expansion of the definition of marriage beyond that of a bond between one man and one woman. That's where our party stands in the state of Idaho, and as chairman, that's where I stand on this issue. When I look substantively at the Supreme Court, I think it has a little bit of schizophrenia. When it was the Supreme Court of the United States of America that said very clearly in the Defense of Marriage Act cases that states were the primary regulators of marriage laws, that the federal government had to defer to them. Now the same Supreme Court of the United States is saying it has federal judges overturning state laws, the polar opposite of what the same court said two decades ago. And, you know, I just substantively just really question what the state of democracy is at this current age. When you have supermajorities in our state and in several other states speaking out about what they see as a social policy issue, and I guess now the Supreme Court is saying one person in a robe outbalances a supermajority of the electorate. And I just think that's a very bad process point when it comes to our democratic process. But I think substantively, back to our platform, where we stand remains unchanged in the wake of this.
You take a look at you as an American, sir. Have you ever seen anything in America where you have states passing laws, constitutional amendments, and within 10 years wiped out by the bench?
Very, very rare, if ever, I've seen these things. The arguments on the other side tend to appeal to passion. But really, if what they care about is where society is and moving society through social policy, the most sustainable path for doing that would be through legislatures and popular referenda, where you get the will of the people to move. I mean, really what you end up with here is tyranny of the minority, with people who appeal to courts to do what they can't do by way of the ballot box.
Do you think this has any impact on the November elections in Idaho?
Well, I hope it's one of these issues that helps clarify two things, and both of which reinforce how important it is who our chief executive might be. Now, I've lived through several elections where the people on the ballot by way of the general election weren't exactly who I was enthusiastic about as a conservative. I look at the 08 election, and John McCain is someone where I would lay a whole host of sins at his feet, not least of which being a humble state party chairman, what he did to campaign finance regulations that makes it exceedingly hard on state party chairmen all across the country, and many of our candidates. And there are a whole host of other issues that I thought he was wrong on. But how would the Supreme Court today look if Barack Obama hadn't had two terms as president to influence the judiciary from the Supreme Court down to federal judges at many, many levels? our state level, governors appoint thousands of people, including judges. We're going to have a lot of consequential things that come down the pike. We just have to be careful in weighing what the best interests of our state are going to be in each of our own individual opinions as we go to that ballot box to make our choice. It's more complex than just where we are and who we would rather have. There are real consequences. And I think that in a lot of this state, people have heard of A.J. Balakoff's background. They may know of him in his positions on education, where he is in his social life. But really, when it comes down to this fundamental issue, he is on the wrong side of a majority of Idahoans when it comes to their values. And that ought to factor into how they consider their vote.
Stephen Yates with us, chairman of the state GOP, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Chairman Yates, you've been traveling. You're trying to bring back the conservatives into the fold. As our friend Pat Buchanan would always say, now it's time for the party to unite everyone to come home. The primary is behind us. Your thoughts on how that's playing out at your level, sir?
Well, I have several things that come to my consideration and when I go around and talk to different audiences. I try to do my best to respect audiences and the questions that they bring to me, and I give people the benefit of the doubt when they bring their passion. People who bring issues to me sometimes have the luxury of focusing on one issue at a time, and I have the responsibility of trying to field a whole host of things and hold a party somewhat together, focused and moving in one direction with people who have differing points of view. So I have a host of appointments that I've had to deal with. Some of them have not been announced yet that have to do with our rules and resolutions and the things that actually control the nuts and bolts of how the party functions. I've heard a lot of people's open wounds about the primary process, and that weighs heavily on me as we think about how we look at structuring the rules of the party as we go forward to make sure that some of the things that happened to bring us to those open wounds in the party and the court case in the fall, in the summertime, that those kinds of things don't happen again. Really, I think that we focused very, very closely on the simple choice on November 4th between D's and R's, and I feel comfortable being on the right side of that equation through this cycle. But what weighs most heavily on me is where we go longer term as we prepare for 2016 and make sure that people see our rules as being fair, simple, easily understood, well-trained, and equitably applied to all. I see that as sort of the core mission for which I was elected.
Well, speaking of your core mission, you are the uniter. On one hand, you have some hard feelings from the primary folks. You know, it's been well reported on this program and others, the tension between Congressman Labrador and his followers and the governor. You've got the conservative base that supported Russ Fulcher. Now Congressman Labrador, I believe, is on the trail trying to get folks that back him to back Governor Otter. He's having a difficult time. How do you bring those two factions together, the Otter and the Labrador wings?
Well, part of it is by trying to work on the work, to put it simply. We have people in the party who are elected to their positions as well, who represent constituencies, but also have volunteer functions to organize and support. Part of being in a party is that you have your season of competition and you have your season of work, and then you go back to your season of organizing, making rules, and preparing to get back into your season of competition. We've got a lot to work on in 2016, and we're getting around to talk to people about the longer-term plans of what we have to do. I have had the privilege of talking several times with Congressman Labrador and with Senator Russ Fulcher and others, as well as talking with the governor and the lieutenant governor and others, to get a sense from them about what the highest priorities are of the constituents that support them most, to make sure that we as a party are taking those into consideration and making them our own priorities as we come up with our priorities for rules and resolutions and things like that that actually say how the party works. I've been pleased to have support from our congressional delegation.
Congressman Labrador has been the most generous contributor to the state party of our congressional delegation. And Russ Fulcher has been generous with his perspective and advice for me personally as I've gone through this transition in taking on this role of party chairman at a late date in an election cycle. So I appreciate the generosity of their advice and their actual support as we've gone through this.
Now, and it's funny because I follow you on Facebook, so I know how hard you're working here at 580KIDO. You're always on the trail. You're always moving, and that is work. I was surprised by the negative reaction or the controversial reaction of inviting Senator Craig to come back in to help the party. Were you surprised by that, and your thoughts on Senator Craig coming back?
I wasn't surprised by the feelings that were expressed and the judgments that were expressed. And as I say, I tried my best to live by an ethos that I encourage others to live by, where I give people the benefit of the doubt when they bring an issue to me and when they want to ask me a direct question. People around the state that have had an opportunity to meet with me and talk with me know that I do take their questions, and I respect where they're coming from, and I offer my answers. The finance position in our party is somewhat misnamed. There are a couple of key roles under our rules that go directly to the chairman of the party. One of them is fundraising. And one of the things under our rules that's available to the chairman is to appoint someone to help with fundraising, especially with larger donors and with the business community. The chairman himself, the executive director, are in control of the fundraising operation, and we try to do as much as we can in outreach to the grassroots and a number of ongoing donor programs. But there's a lot of work to do for me to go around and talk to audiences and try to work with our candidates and open a few field offices and things like that. And Senator Craig is someone who was a known known, as Don Rumsfeld would say. He was given a Hall of Fame award in 2011 by the Idaho Republican Party, and some similar views were expressed at that time. So I knew that there would be a reaction, but I also have the duty to try to pull people from different points of view together, and this finance position is the one that raises the resources that help the rest of the party do what it does. And in the context of appointing other people to rules and resolutions and people to be in charge of managing the caucus process that is before us in the 2016 cycle. I mean, those three other areas are ones that control how the party actually runs. The fundraising position is one that only controls support for the party. And so I saw it as one where we have people doing different things for different purposes for the party in a balanced way. And just personally, people are free to disagree, and they certainly do. I just am someone that believes that there is a chance of service out there for people who may have gone astray a time or two. I think that it ought to be welcomed for someone who feels a commitment to the party to volunteer his time to raise the money to give to us to decide how we're going to use it in advance of the principles we believe in, which include the topic we're dealing with in the news today that I cited from our party platform. So I understand the heat that is coming. I respect that people have a differing opinion on it, even an intense one. But I would just encourage them to consider the totality of what we're trying to do in rebuilding a party, and the purposes for which these resources will be used are the ones that are in our platform. And if they agree with that platform, I would hope that they might agree that it's okay for a variety of people, not limited to the finance chairman
Sure.
or the co-chairs that he recruits, to support that effort.
More coming up with our friend.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Who's in up all night?
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. With us once again, State GOP Chairman Stephen Yates. Chairman Yates, will you call on the governor to appeal this decision?
Well, the governor, I think, has already said that he has to weigh all of the options about how best to continue this pursuit. And the attorney general has said repeatedly that his duty is to uphold the Constitution of the state of Idaho, and that remains his duty. Certainly the Republican Party stands where its platform is, and it says explicitly, we call on our leaders to do everything they can to defend the notion of traditional marriage. And so, yes, we call on all of our leaders to do so.
Switching gears to your day job, dealing with national security issues, this ISIS-ISIL, based on, you know, your real-life experience, what do you make of these guys? Another beheading.
Yeah, well, they now, I think, are proving that it doesn't matter who you are and what you do in life, that they aim to use murder as a form of terror to influence people. So even former military guys who convert to Islam and go over there as aid workers, they too will go through the same treatment. When you look at the ground that this Islamic State group is taking, it's right on the border of Turkey. That ought to fundamentally change the approach of that country that has, I think, frankly, taken a fence-sitting position in terms of the civil war in Syria and the rise of this kind of Islamist movement across the region. It's really dangerous where this movement is going. It's unclear where we are on homeland security here. We've had very startling admissions by the FBI director about the risks that we face. He anticipates an attack on our homeland very soon, but doesn't really have any specifics about where or how or exactly when. And we have a president who isn't preparing the country for that kind of potentiality, and he has these limited airstrikes that obviously are not changing facts on the ground in a positive way. So I hope against hope that the president might take the sober briefings he's received and recalibrate his approach to the world and rethink his approach to the policies that leave us vulnerable here at home.
How do you stop this movement? Now we've got this Syrian-Turkish border town that, even though the airstrikes appear to be working, it's not going to stop ISIS from taking over. And you've got the aversion to putting boots on the ground, and then you still have the general saying, we're going to have to put boots on the ground to stop these thugs.
Well, I think it begins with being clear about what our interest is. Either you believe, as commander-in-chief, that we need to halt the progress of this group abroad before it does something to us here at home, or you believe this is someone else's fight. I think that a preponderance of Americans see this as a development that is threatening enough that it's imperative that we do something abroad to halt this movement there. Even with the air campaign that's gone forward so far, there have not been a lot of bombings. Like 5 bombing raids per day, which is a lot if it's happening to you and me, but in real warfare that's trying to change things, it's very short of shock and awe. And basically we need, if we're going to go by way of aerial assault, then bombs away make a significant difference on what's happening on the ground. We don't even seem to be bombing these groups heavily when they're on the move between cities, which to me is just says we don't have a serious military strategy.
You know, I worked at a very low level when I was in the military in PSYOP, psychological operations. They don't even call it that anymore. What is the real-world effect of Jihadist John doing these horrible acts with social media? What impact does that have at all levels?
Well, unfortunately, it has a recruiting effect to people who I would consider to be damaged humans who are susceptible to they wanting to be a big part of what I see as a murder cult. And we unfortunately have some Americans who are going over there, as well as people from other countries that are going in to be a part of this. The FBI has caught one such person on his way out, and there are probably many others, which is a sad state. It has a significant effect in terrorizing people. I mean, I remember after 9/11, it was the sniper in D.C. that had almost an equal terror effect on the population as the actual attacks of 9/11 did, just sort of freezing people in their tracks. And this kind of bloody-mindedness and seeing that there are copycats and maybe even recruits in our own country that are engaging in this barbaric behavior is, I think, very, very scary to people. I think that's why they see that something significant needs to be done to end this movement abroad. That's the only way you stop this use of social media, the use of murder as a form of political influence.
Stephen Yates, to be continued. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
And 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning at one of our favorite schools, Bishop Kelly High School. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So here we are, Thursday, winding down the week. Big news yesterday, what was that wasn't, could be again.
Yeah, you know, there was confusion in that the gay marriage ban, it was lifted, it was put in place, it was lifted, it was put in place, back and forth, and so a lot of people up and down emotionally on both sides of the issue.
Right, but it's interesting, you know, whether or not it was really newsworthy. You had everybody going there, everybody yapping about it, and then all of a sudden, boom, it didn't happen. And I'm thinking, is this really earth-shattering news in the world we live in today?
Well, you know, it was... There's a lot. I hesitate because there's a lot of news going on right now. But yeah, I suppose that you know, it impacts a portion of the society. There's a change, perhaps going into effect into law. There's, you know, the whole state constitutional issue going on. So yeah, I think it is news. Is it news for the way it's presented? Probably not so much. But you know, it's a very visual thing of having people out at the courthouse and disappointed in tears or frustrated and mad. So, you know, it was a visual thing. So TV gave it a lot of coverage.
I suppose a lot of disappointment there. Of course, probably only a temporary stay, considering Justice Kennedy was the guy that made the decision in the Windsor and pretty much condemned people that disagreed with his views on same-sex marriage.
Yeah, and both sides have till today to issue their discussions on it, and then we'll see what happens tonight or tomorrow.
Yep, today at 5.
Yeah, So that'll, you know, TV news is at 5, obviously. Of course, I think they start doing local news at 3 now, don't they? Or 2:30 in the afternoon, whatever it is.
Well, they call it news. It's just two people yapping. Wait a minute. Let's not go too far into that.
Yeah, but by 5 o'clock, you know, everybody will be at the courthouse or somewhere with their cameras set up live.
Of course, then again, we don't pretend to be news, but I just, you know, news has pretty much turned into a yap fest. You know, when you talk about news at 3, news at 2, news here, I miss Days of Our Lives.
No, I think that's on at 9, 9:30, 10, somewhere. It's on anymore. It's still there.
Right against the Price is Right?
Oh, wait, maybe it's on, I don't know. Maybe one of them's on right after the news on Channel 7. I don't know, Days of Our Desire, is that it?
I'm telling you, Days of Our Desire, there you go.
I think that's it.
Anyway, here we are at Bishop Kelly High School. Certainly that was the big earth-shattering news yesterday, and I'm trying to think if anything else happened that is worth mentioning here this morning at 580 KIDO.
Well, the Ebola patient in Dallas dies from his disease, and some saying, you know, had he not been sitting home with just, you know, antibiotics 2 days sooner, would he have lived? I don't know, but it does bring into question. I mean, I believe they've euthanized his dog, and now they got to figure out how to dispose of the body, which, you know, always makes you a little nervous. One sheriff has checked himself into the office with flu-like symptoms that has had contact, so they're watching him carefully.
Well, you know, it begs the question, and you don't need to have Alan L. Morton, attorney at law and retainer, to understand this, that he went to the hospital. They initially said it was a computer glitch. We now find out that a doctor did admit that he did hear from the patient, that he was from West Africa, that he was, you know, exposed to these folks with Ebola, and they didn't do anything about it. So there's human error. So with all due respect to the dead and to his family that may or may not be infected at 580 KIDO, the survivor's going to have a heck of a lawsuit if they survive.
Well, it makes you wonder. You're a doctor. Somebody's who's from Africa says they came in from that country and they've got flu-like symptoms. What are you thinking? Why doesn't the mask go on immediately and, you know, and the room sealed up? I'm not in the medical profession, but I would know to go, uh-oh, that could be a problem.
And this is when the whole Ebola thing was going wild, everybody going crazy about it, the president saying, don't worry about it. And you would think, from that part of the world,
he's got these conditions. Maybe we should, you know, press the...
Well, the other question would be the enterovirus, which might be even more serious, and paying attention to that one. But, you know, that's not getting all that much of a run either.
Well, and here, how would you like to be the guy's family? Okay, you're not going to a hospital, you're not going anywhere, you're just going to sit in your apartment, and we have men outside the sealed area to make sure you don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that might be necessary, but how would you like to be the guy standing outside the place keeping guard? I don't think I'd want that job.
Well, if you got your rubber suit on, I think you're okay.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. There is a report of one professional from Spain who has now come down infected who was wearing a rubber suit.
Well, you can't even count on those rubber suits anymore.
No flying cars and no rubber suits.
Right, right. Well, we've got that, of course. The latest with ISIS, they're not backing down. We've got the bombings going on. Turkey seems to be interesting here at 580KIDO. They don't want any trouble. It's almost as if they've been bought off, bribed off, or scared off, if you will.
Well, they've got tanks right on the border watching the fighting going on, but just sitting there with their tanks watching it. I mean, with binoculars.
Right, they don't want to get involved, and maybe they cut a deal with ISIS. That's why they got those 40 hostages returned.
Yeah, it could be. I have a question for you, though, about ISIS. Now, you've been in Baghdad, right?
Several times.
And they say that ISIS is, what, 50 miles outside of Baghdad?
Yeah.
What's the terrain like there? Isn't it desert out there?
You know, Iraq is an interesting country that I flew in from a place called, and I'm getting to your answer. I'm not pulling the Kevin Miller guest thing where I don't answer your question, but I'm trying to give some perspective here at 580KIDO because – you know, Iraq, most of it reminded me on the road, you know, it's like the road to Mountain Home or the road to Haley without the mountains. But on the other hand, there is some greenery there, and I wouldn't have been made aware of it. My first trip there was in 06, and I wasn't in Baghdad. We went to Baghdad for a day. It was a place called Balad in the Sunni Triangle. It's the largest Air Force base either in Iraq or in the entire region. And they called it Mortaritaville because you'd get mortared all the time. And, you know, while I was there, we got mortared and such. And when I got on the helicopter and I got my video and I'm going back and forth on this, I saw, like, lush greenery, kind of like how they do it here with the irrigation as far as the farms.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I actually saw some trees and such. So, you know, most of the country is that, but you have some beautiful mountain regions. I believe of the north country in Mosul is very much kind of like what we see here in the Mountain West as far as mountains and trees and such.
Okay, I was just kind of curious.
Primarily around Baghdad.
I don't know the terrain, but it just seemed like if, you know, 50 miles outside of Baghdad, wouldn't you be able to spot them from the air and go ahead and bomb them?
Well, you would think, you know, you got to be careful now because they shot down a helicopter the other day. How do they figure out how to do that? I don't know. But, you know, here these troops are going in their convoys, and you would think that it'd be the A-10s or somebody would come in and wipe them out. That hasn't happened, and really it goes back to this. And you talk to folks that were there. Remember our folks in the Idaho National Guard, the 116th, two deployments there. The second one, they turned everything over to the Iraqis. The Iraqis had the best equipment, the best money, the best training. I don't know what the heck they did for those 10 years.
Well,
I really don't.
We assume that it's in their control. We also know the Iraqis are really good about taking their uniforms off and running, leaving everything where it is. It's hard to say what ISIS has now.
It just seems kind of strange to me that we have, you know, the jihadist John, and then we had another guy yesterday that's, you know, talking about digging ditches and stuff.
Yes.
And now we know he's an American. Who in their right mind would leave this country and go work for those thugs?
Well, I guess somebody that is hell-bent against what this country and the West stands for, I guess.
You know, what type of depravity of the soul, even if you're against this country, that you would go in there and you would join a group that does what they do and is so brutal and everything else?
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you because it makes no sense to me.
Well, and it goes down to the issue here, do we fight them? Do we, you know, stay out of this? What do we do? Is it so big that we can't ignore it?
Well, I think the ultimate goal from what I read, and I'm no expert by any means, is they want to set up that that triangle where they would be in charge and split basically three or four countries up and make a new one.
Hmm.
Yeah. Whether that's
well,
right or not, I don't know.
Crazy way of doing it.
Yeah. I I'm no expert on it, but that's what I have read and heard.
Right. Right. So we've got that going on here at 580KIDO. What's going on in your world?
My world? My world's pretty simple. It's Thursday night football tonight, which means, is it Indiana playing? Is it, what game is it? Some horrible Thursday night game. The Thursday night games are awful. They have been. And I think it's because you got guys coming off of a Sunday game. They turn around and play on Thursday. And those who have more talent win. Those who have less talent, they don't have time to get ready. And so it's a blowout, every one of them. And I think you'll see it go away because the players are going, nah, we're not doing this. And so the question is, do they then run NFL football to Friday night and inflict themselves on high school football and college, which is trying to take over Friday nights? I don't know. So you got that.
Yeah, I don't know if the players have that much pull.
I don't know. Perhaps they do, perhaps they don't. You know, they've got their union. They're in charge of that.
But, I mean, it's the almighty buck.
True. That is true. And that's what they chase. That's the reason Boise State's willing to play on Friday nights, which will be the next, not this tomorrow night, but the next two Fridays after that. They'll be playing Friday night games. I guess the other thing going on nationally is that in St. Louis, just miles from Ferguson, another shooting last night, a cop who shot somebody and killed a man. So now you're going to have people rioting in the street over that.
Yeah, it shows you what a great place Idaho is that you don't have those issues. Of course, what a great place America is, you usually don't have those issues as well. And, you know, the scary thing about Ferguson and St. Louis and everything else going on down there is the just the ease in which the Department of Justice decided to go after the cop. He was wrong. He needs to be prosecuted. Well, isn't the law about both sides to a story?
Well, one would think in getting to the bottom of it, but I think the other message that comes with it is that there is unease in this country, period. And people are getting uneasy. You have, you know, you have Democrats who are separating themselves from the president now, going, no, we would hold on to coming close to elections, don't want anything to do with him. You have, you know, people on the right who are separating from, you know, traditional Republicans and more conservative Republicans. You have separation there. So you got a lot of juggling going on right now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if this ruling has any effect. Getting back to what we started this segment on here at 580KIDO, this ruling has any effect on the governor's race. Let's take a listen to one lady who's disappointed.
Just another step in the process, and we're going to keep our heads held high, and this is going to happen.
There we have it from the Ada County Courthouse yesterday. Of course, in Nevada, a different reaction.
We were like, okay, they said that they'll start issuing at 2 o'clock tomorrow, so we dropped everything and made all the plans just to be here, get it over and done with. This morning woke up at like 7 o'clock and saw that they put a stay on it. We're like, really? So, I mean, we went through every single emotion.
There we have it. So, apparently, the Nevada has been stayed as well. So, you know, are they putting off the inevitable? I guess you'll have to stay tuned for that.
Well, we'll find out more at 5 o'clock today, you know, when we get right down to it. So I'll be interested, and we're just about out of time here, but I will be interested to watch and see what happens with the governor's race and how A.J. Belukov tries to position himself and position the governor, how the governor tries to position himself. There'll be a bit of dancing going on with this with the candidates.
Well, again, it comes down to how big of an issue this is. I think it will help the governor with his conservative base, which is a big problem for him right now. His advisors, if they're working for him correctly, will let him know that. And there has been some outreach. You've got Congressman Labrador trying to get his Raulistas to, in fact, embrace the governor. And when you've heard for 4 years, 6 years, 2 years, what's wrong with Butch Otter, it's kind of tough to reverse that course. Without the conservative base, I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe for the governor.
Yeah, well, we will find out as the clock is ticking down. Elections less than a month away now, Kevin.
Hard to believe that, and, you know, we're having all these debates. Does anybody really want to see the Secretary of State debate? Are you dying to see Lawrence Denny and the young, cosmetically appealing young lady from Boise? I mean, is that something we're missing out on?
I always say this as a criticism of people. I should care. I really should. You know, it affects me, but I have a hard time whipping up any excitement for it. I don't, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. So I'm assuming there's two or three. Yeah,
maybe
seriously,
it's the candidates.
I'm just being honest about it. It's just I should care, but I'm having trouble. So if somebody is not, you know, if somebody's totally politically unaware, yeah, that's even scary. Yet they're going to walk in and go, "Eeny, meeny, miny, I'll pick that one." That's how it's going to work.
Those are the people that show up.
Well, yeah, for those that do show up, and unfortunately, that won't be many.
Well, aren't we full of happiness and cheer? Thank goodness we're Bishop Kelly here this morning.
Exactly. As you continue on at Bishop Kelly, as you go through talking to different school administrators and folks, anything special on tap for this morning you got cooking?
No, we're going to just talk to the administrators and folks and a little bleep here and there and, you know, cover the big issues as we move along here.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a look at your traffic now as you're coming.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
557, Kevin Miller in the morning, live from Bishop Kelly High School. Promoting our school, securing our future, thanks to our friends at CapEd Credit Union. Phone number's here, 580-5436. Remember, we're always looking to make new friends. Give us a like on Facebook. We'd love to let you know what we're doing, when we're doing it. And, look, we would love to be with you 24 hours a day, being on Facebook and checking in with us at 580KIDO is the best way to keep informed about what's going on with the station, with me, and with everyone else. Time to get you to work safely and on time at 5. And we are live at Bishop Kelly High School, looking forward to talking to all the wonderful folks here. And, of course, keeping you up on the news of the day, here is the Secretary of State talking about Ebola.
Quickly move to contain the spread of Ebola.
Hopefully that will happen. Whatever happened to hope and change, right? Anyway, stay tuned, stay informed. Thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning. We'll be right back.